if you dig a little deeper, it seems that the general view about what we'll just call it gun control is not so polarizing when you look at the number of people in the country or the percentage of people that want some steeped up level of or increased level of gun control, yet we've got corporate interest in the NRA that are seem to be quashing or mitigating against that general public interest. So I'd say it's the short answer is it seems to be a polarizing issue in the country. But if we could have some more, democratic response to the issues rather than a corporate-driven response, it might not be so polarizing.
And how does that polarizing happen when you mentioned the NRA and lobbyists? I don't understand all of that part of politics and how politics work. Could you better explain that so people like myself that are listening can better understand how does that work?
When you hear about studies and polling about control or limiting, for example, sale and dissemination of automatic weapons and large clips, magazine clips for guns, that there, my understanding is it's pretty consistent that there's a overwhelming majority of the public that is in favor of that. And yet, the NRA, who is the NRA and the gun lobby, which is very well funded, and is threatening to members of Congress, or I'd say is intimidating to many members of Congress, continues to steer the majority of members in Congress to vote against what the majority of members in the United States or majority of the public in the United States would really like to see. And I think that's reflective of so much of our public policy, where we have, people in many issues that would line up in favor or against a certain public policy, yet because of Congress being fueled largely by corporate interest and money, those opinions and desires of the general public don't end up in legislation and reflecting the public policy. And I realize that's painting with a pretty broad brush, and a lot of times the devil's in the details, but when I think of guns in America, that's the first thing that comes to my mind, is this disconnect between what the public would like to see what ends up happening or not happening in Congress.
And how is it that Congress can be intimidated by these lobbyists and big corporate interest?
Well, it's money, and it's the political clout that money brings politics, and that comes in the form of political contributions that sitting members of Congress are hoping and expecting to derive from corporate interest. And I think the intimidation factor comes from the knowledge that if a sitting member of Congress is not aligned with a corporate interest, then they're going to funnel that money to another candidate who is aligned with their interest. And, of course, this speaks more to a broader problem in our political sphere. that money in politics, and as long as we, as long as Citizens United stands, and as long as that is the driving force of so many members of Congress, or I guess is driving force in our political system, then we're going to continue to have that this issue in, you know, on the gun control matter and many other issues and matters. There are many and most responsible gun owners, and for hunting and for sport and target practice, and I think that's totally fine and that's appropriate. But when you're talking about, you know, assault rifles, those are weapons of war. And to say we're not going to have any kind of limitations on the sale and use of those types of weapons is just, I cannot wrap my head around that thought. And, you know, the argument that, well, you know, that's not going to eliminate these, you know, the Columbines and the Sandy Hook type tragedies, you know, that rings hollow to me. I mean, I think that there's no way that we're going to completely eliminate gun sales and make our society completely safe, and bad guys are going to have guns just like good guys are going to have guns. But to sit by idly and do nothing about that and to put no restrictions on the sale and use of weapons of war to the general public, I just don't understand that. I think that's just a ridiculous policy position. For folks that do have guns in their homes, there should be heightened liability that where if you have a gun and you let that and you don't have that gun properly secured, and a child is a visitor in your home is injured or killed because of that, then I think you should absolutely be responsible, not just a civil suit, but I think there should be responsible criminally, because that happens way too often. Way too often.
What measures do you feel they should be taking to responsibly have a handgun in their home space?
There are trigger locks. There are ways to secure guns, absolutely, should be taken. There's no excuse whatsoever for a handgun or any type of gun to be end up in the hands of a child. And you know, there's plenty of mechanisms in place for that, including common sense. But you know, it happens all the time. If there were increased liability, increased or heightened consequences on the criminal end and the civil end, that would act as a more powerful deterrent and make people more careful with where they're storing guns in the home and how they're storing them. You would ask, you know, what our personal truth is. I think you can get to your personal truth by asking the right question. And again, I think that you know, if you really ask, you know, who's making the policy here as far as guns in America, that leads you to, or I think the answer to that question, it should be a concern, I know a lot of what I've talked about is, you know, sounds like I'm vilifying corporate America, and I'm not categorically anti-corporate or anti-capitalism. I think we are a capitalist society, and I think that's that's great, and we need, obviously we need jobs and corporate and economic development in the country, but capitalism needs limits, and there's always going to be a tension between the corporate interest and the government about what limits are appropriate. But when left unbridled and unlimited, we see, development of public policies that are not for the greater good. And I think that's exactly what's going on here when we're not able to get any really even slight limitations on assault weapons and things of that nature. So I think that's the question we want to be asking. When people are just regurgitating this, it's always become an autonomic response for a lot of people, this keep the federal government out of our lives and states' rights, and we ought to be able to do what we want to do, and this distrust of the federal government. I really wish that folks could step back and say, who's behind this dialogue? And it's no longer a group of militiamen in the 13 colonies seeking independence from the British tyranny. It's now these huge multi-billionaires and corporate sponsored, dialogue out there, it's hard to squeeze that into a 30-second soundbite, and it's so complicated because it's been going on for so long and so pervasive. I think that's something that would be really interesting, because I don't think many folks, I think that's just become that mantra, I distrust the federal government has become such an integral part of the dialogue of our so many people in this country that they don't really think about it, and that's a big, in my opinion, that's a really big part of this puzzle, the guns in America, that I think maybe a lot of folks aren't thinking about. So that's it.